Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Strategies of Success. Today we're going to talk about return on effort. There's so many things that we can control, and there's tons of things we can't control. What about your effectiveness? Can you really control how effective you are in an absolute term? No way. You really can't. You cannot control what your client's going to do. You can guide them, of course. You can give them ideas that they can act on. You can make great suggestions. Tell them reasons why they should call, buy your product, use your service, whatever it is. But it's still up to them. So their action, their absolute action, is not in your control. What about when you're making you start a company. Do you know? Oh, a good friend of mine just moved his company, and he planned on it. It wasn't the first time, but still, there were so many unique things that came up that were not expected. So you really can't control that again. When do you open your doors? You know, he had an idea as to when he was going to open his doors and an idea about the amount of effort that would needed to be put into it, but, you know, it changes. And the word effort comes up and comes up quite frequently. You know, how much effort do you put into whatever that item is? How much effort do you put into marketing? What effort do you put into what kind of marketing? And obviously, if you're listening to this program, friend of mine, you know, a lot of us are really trying to look at different ways about doing something. We don't have million-dollar advertising budgets or anything like that. We don't have household names like these large national corporations. We do have our own brands. We do have our own personalities that are out there. And for those that are effective, I think that many people know what your brand is. They know that they could rely on you. And that takes time, energy, and effort. Effort, again, that effort thing. So where do you put your time, energy, and effort? Where do you do that? How do you figure out what makes sense, what doesn't make sense? Well, let's just start right at the get-go. Why are you doing what you're doing? Sounds like an easy answer or simple question, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I was discussing this with my wife about that effort kind of a thing and why it was important to do some things that just seemed to be off the beaten track. Now, I do also need to take a look, or we all need to take a look at some of those things that are, again, off the beaten track. Does it make sense? That's the effort. Do you put effort into stuff that's not going to give you a direct result or not? Where is that balance? You got to go figure it out. So, look. Right in the beginning, I wanted to improve my communication skills. So the effort for me was to do anything that was going to allow me to grow on the communication side of things. And some things were easier than others. Getting on the comedy stage, man, that was certainly a push, you know, in a whole different direction to do. The logic was that by being able to do that, then just giving a presentation becomes so much easier. You're able to pay attention during a presentation on what is really important, and that, of course, is the audience, not your material. The comedy, it was the material, wanted to remember everything, et cetera. The audience, for me, the beginning stages was secondary. It just absolutely was, except for the guy sitting in the front row with his arms crossed. He was like, he did not look happy with it, but went through. Most of all, it was good. So that was good. Wasn't 100% good, but it was good. But it was a reason. There was a reason for my effort with doing that. So my return on that effort was it allowed me to continue to build my confidence in doing different things. Same thing with this radio program. You know, doing this allowed me a weekly time slot where I was able to improve my interviewing skills. So this kind of made sense for me. But we go out and we do the networking stuff. You know, what kind of an event does it make sense for you to go to? It's a real big question. It depends who you are, what you are, and where you're at when it comes to your business. I totally think some of the events that you go to where there's a wide variety of people there and there's a lot of other businesses and everybody's sharing their ideas and what their areas of expertise are, you know, does it make sense to go to those things? Yeah, it absolutely does. you might not be looking to pick up a client there because everybody's in the room, you know, promoting what it is that they do. So everybody's there, quote unquote, to sell or to inform everybody of what their products and services are. So it's a whole bunch of commercial people, commercials, you know, walking around talking to each other. But that's a great place to do a few different things. It is a great place for you to practice that elevator pitch. It's a great place for you to hone in on what it is that you do and why you do what you do. It is also a great place for you to practice something that is super important, and that is informing people about what your brand is. What your brand is. Are you the person that's going to go in, fix a problem, and that's it? I mean, the one-time type thing? Are you somebody that's going to be there as more of a consultant, which I think makes a lot more sense in most cases, if not every case? Or are you going to be more of a consultant? Are you more of a referral partner? Were you looking to connect different people with different people? All that stuff is important. And if you're going in there and you're known as the person who does a lot of referring, and then they really don't know exactly what your business is. So that might be good, might not be good. Finding a way to communicate the whole thing out certainly, you know, makes a lot of sense. How do you do, you know, but keeping track of these efforts is really important. So we're back to that wonderful thing called the plan, the business plan. You know, and that is really where you're going to take a look at your marketing plan. All right, you've got your business, you're working on that, you got all your expenses lined up, you got all the rest of that, the income coming in, clientele, etc. But the marketing side of things and the effort that you put into marketing does absolutely need to be watched. You can be taken off course really quickly if you're not paying attention to what you are doing and how often you are doing these things, and making sure that balance of working on the business, in the business, is met. It's, you know, it's a great thing to work on the business, but somebody's actually got to be doing it. Somebody's got to be servicing the clients and doing that thing. And I've spoken to a number of folks out there, and I know when I ask this question about who does your marketing, who is the one that's generating new business, and who's doing the work, a lot of times I get that response, I am. I am on everything. It's hard. It's really, really hard to go out there and do that. So there might be some things, you know, to consider when you are looking at that. One is being effective. Keep track. So if you're going to networking events, right, you want to see which ones make sense for you. And the only way to do that is going to be when you get your spreadsheet together with who you met, who you're following up with, when you need to call them back, et cetera, what they do, where you're either going to be seeing them as a client, using them as for their business, or referring them, or some combination of. You want to keep track of that. Also, you want to keep track of how often that you are meeting with them. But create that separate category, too, about where did you meet them? Where did you run across them? Were there a referral to you, or did you meet them at an event that you went to that was, you know, open to everybody? Did you meet them at an event that was not, you know, where there was some sort of a charge to go to? Or maybe it was a mastermind kind of group where you're there sharing ideas. Those are not designed from a referral standpoint, but you really get a chance to know everybody at that, because that's what it's all about. You know, the mastermind groups, the business development groups, and there's many of them out there, you know, they are designed for you to share the different challenges that you are going through. And it's great. If you don't do a group like that, you know, getting an accountability partner or something, you know, or a coach really, truly makes a lot of sense. But see where your people are coming from and how much time you are spending during the week and the weekend and at 2 o'clock in the morning doing all of these things and keeping track, you know, with everybody. And that includes the wonderful world of social media. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. You know, you can keep track of how many hours you spend on social media, or better yet, keep track of how many connections, how fruitful it is for you to be on either or Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or Pinterest or some of the other ones that are out there. Because each of these things have a different focus and each of them will serve a different purpose for you. And all of them will be one big, huge, time-consuming event if you let it. And that becomes a problem, too, because now, where are you putting your efforts into? Where are you putting your efforts into? Is it the face-to-face marketing? Are you better off doing that? Are you better off going online and just promoting your business through LinkedIn or Facebook or Pinterest, one of those other ones? Maybe you're better off, you know, reaching into the pocket and sponsoring an event. You know, getting up in front of the room and doing it that way. Because the beautiful thing about that, once you are up in front of the room, you are now the focal point of that group. You are also the expert in whatever category that is, and that becomes really important. You want to get your business out over there. So maybe it makes sense doing that, but you got to keep track. Got to keep track on your efforts, where they're being placed, what money you're spending, where that's being placed, and how you're getting the clientele coming back. And it's important to figure out that one. Ask the question. You know, if you get somebody that comes to you and you're not exactly sure where they come from and they don't say, hey, you know, Bob referred me over to you, you know, et cetera, ask them. There's no reason in the world why not. You know, if they're an entrepreneur, you know, they're going through the same thing. If there's somebody who's not working, well, maybe a little bit different. But still, you want to bring up that question. You got to keep track of where your efforts are going. Otherwise, I'll go back to what my wife said, you know, we need 50 hours in a day in order to get everything done that we should be doing in a 24-hour day, which hopefully we're not working 24 hours a day also, because that also gets a little tiring. But, you know, figuring out, you know, where your efforts should be put and leave it to that. And that also includes with talking about what it is that you do. You know, it needs to be clear, cut, and describable to somebody else. So this way, your efforts multiply. And a multiplier effect, big thing, especially for you math people. You know, the big thing when it comes to your efforts being shared by somebody else when they are talking about you also. So keep track of that one, too. You know, do you have somebody out there that has become your advocate, that's out there talking to their clients, to their connections about you? That will do wonders for your own personal return on effort, because they are putting the effort into it and they are becoming your sales force. I know there's a couple of groups out there, the networking groups, you know, that talk about that, you know, that we are your sales force. And that's great. When that stuff works, man, it is a beautiful thing. If you're in a room with 20 people and those 20 people become your sales force, you say one thing, and that gets multiplied out 20 times. If they share whatever it is that you post on the appropriate platform, social media platform, such as Facebook or LinkedIn, man, that is wonderful, wonderful. If you could figure out somebody that has a newsletter that you can contribute to that is complementary with what it is that you do versus what they do, that would be a fantastic thing. Gentlemen I spoke to, and this may make sense, you know, for a lot of people, but there's a lot of folks out there that are building websites. They build the websites. So what else needs to happen when somebody builds a website? Well, they need content for the website, for one. They may need the social media assistance, for two. That's really important. The other side of it, too, is that they might have some other computers in the office where they need a consultant, somebody to be available to help them out with their computer system, not even just the website, but the system itself, to make sure it's secure. You know, well, cybersecurity is a big thing, and there's a number of folks out there, you know, that work in the cybersecurity world. That's an attention grabber, big time, certainly very much a big time. So if somebody who is available that could write about cybersecurity, and they contribute to a newsletter that's got something else to do with the website or with the computer system. It could have something to do with a nonprofit. They also have cybersecurity issues. Businesses, cybersecurity issues. Heck, we have cybersecurity issues on our own personal computers. How many times have you gotten one of those emails from a institution that just doesn't really look right? Man, somebody hacked into that. And I know a few of us have had our Facebook accounts taken over by somebody. It all fits into it. So even if you really, there's a lot of folks that could use a person like cybersecurity to be included in your newsletter. And that helps out a lot of different ways. On your own efforts, we'll bring it back to that. Your own efforts. You might have a great time writing, but, you know, writing that newsletter each and every month, which should be going out consistently, of course, but, you know, if you're writing your newsletter each and every month and you're sending it out, that's great. If you can have somebody else contribute to your newsletter, that's really wonderful. And if you can have somebody contribute to the newsletter that now will add value to your clients, now you have one. You've reduced your amount of effort because now you have somebody else that's writing for you, contributing that, and it becomes much more of a resource to everybody, a lot less self-serving also because it's more focused on your clientele. It's not just talking about your services and other things that are pertaining to you, but you're talking about and to and for them. So that is an absolute win. If you could do that. Same thing holds true with blogging, et cetera. You know, there is a lot of people that can help you with your business that are in relationships with you where the two of you are talking to the same target market with different products and you're complementary to each other. You know, so that's truly, truly important from a time-saving standpoint. There was also somebody else that I had on as a guest, Dina Eisenberg. You know, we were talking about outsourcing. Now, if you could outsource some of your efforts, that's a great thing to do also. It's not so much as a challenge. I mean, it's an opportunity to do that. As a solopreneur, and I love that term, but as a solopreneur, you know, we're in control of everything. We do everything that's a part of it. You know, remember that guy I asked? It's like, who does your marketing? Who does your website? Who does the client stuff? And its word is, I do. Well, what if some of those things that he's putting the effort into can be outsourced? Think about the time saving on that one. If you know that you can rely on somebody else to do your social media, well, you're feeding them the articles and maybe some comments that are appropriate for your business, so you have your personality gets through on that. They're working with you closely to make sure that it is your personality that's getting out there, not generic, but your personality gets you. That could save you a huge amount of time. Might even save you from the embarrassment of a few typos, things like that. Might also give you different ideas as to which of the platforms you should be using and or not using and make you more effective in that effort. And that would be the effort, of course, of dollars, since you're probably going to be compensating them, you know, for that. But it makes a great amount of sense to outsource something like that in many, many situations. Obviously, the like the accounting work and things like that should also, in most cases, you know, is something else that could be outsourced quite a bit. But it's important to pay attention to what you're doing. And that includes clubs, organizations, the nonprofits that we do, and also some of the effort that we should be putting more and more time into, you know, would be ourselves. Margaret Marshall is on Scott Possess's show, Jobline, this afternoon. And she's talking today about how weight affects what we do in our business. And how weight affects us either as an employee, as a salesperson, if you're the owner of a company, how it affects your employees on a day-to-day basis. And we could take this from the standpoint of a healthier employee is one who takes off less time for sick days and things like that. Let Margaret and let some of the others, you know, talk about that from the employee standpoint. Let's just talk about you and the effort of that. The effort of staying as healthy as you possibly can. Can you do it? Yes, you can. You always can. How much effort do you put into that? Well, I tend to think that that one goes pretty high on the list. And if it's your company and you are the breadwinner for your family, you definitely do want to be able to stay at work doing what you do, you know, for as long as you can and being as effective as you possibly can. You know, when you're a little sluggish, overtired, a little overweight, not eating properly, you know, you get a little bogged down. Well, if you need a 50-hour day for a 24-hour day, being bogged down does not help. So putting the effort into staying healthy, eating healthy, exercising really makes sense. But even something like that, even going to a gym, you know, what time of the day do you go to the gym? Well, what time of the day do you think it makes sense for you to go to the gym? if you've got kids and you're dealing with that, well, sometimes you don't have much of a choice as to when that time exists. But if you do, think about what time your target market, what time other business people are showing up at the gym. Probably not at 11 o'clock in the afternoon. Perhaps it's at 6 o'clock in the morning where they're going to the gym. Maybe it makes sense for you to go at that point in time. And I know that sounds a little bit early for many people, you know, to get up and go. But if you do that, and you'd be surprised at how many people are in the gym. It was a gym that I had belonged to. I was there at 5:45 in the morning for a spin class. And if I showed up a few minutes late, all the bikes were gone, every single one of them. And it was like 30 or 35, whatever the number was. But the gym was full. And maybe the gym is full for your clientele at a certain period of time. So you're mixing the two in. Look, you're not there for business purposes, but conversations do happen, and you get a chance to meet different people. And who knows, maybe a gym allows you to sponsor a table every once in a while. I know one of them does, where they have it's like a membership day. I'm not exactly sure what they call it, but they allow different businesses to come in and promote themselves. So that's an interesting thing, and if you're in any kind of a health-related business, it's good to do. But if you're in a health-related business and you're going to the gym and your face is there, your body is there, hell, that makes even more sense to do because you're in front of your target market. You're doing what it is that you're telling other people to do. So that's truly, you know, that's truly important to consider. You know, time is absolutely a precious thing. You know, we have so many things that are pushing us, you know, on that. Be it family relationships, our own time for ourselves, to get out to the business, working in the business, working on the business, the marketing side of things. Is it social media? Is it face-to-face? Is it going out there, building a referral market more so than getting clients? You know, is it picking up the phone and cold calling? And yeah, cold calling is not dead. You got to be careful. You don't want to call people at home without checking that do not call list. But you can call businesses. There's no reason in the world you can't do that. Is it fit in with your, you know, with your business? It certainly could. Cold calling has become, it's an interesting one too, because you don't speak to people anymore. You speak to machines. So if you're going to be doing that, well, that's another one. You want to see about your effectiveness with it and have somebody listen to the message that you're leaving. Or, you know, you make, you know, phone calls for a week and see. If you don't get any phone calls back at all, well, time to revisit it. If you're getting the phone calls back, well, it sounds like you might be doing the right thing. But speak to somebody about that. See if you're getting those calls. And by all means, stand up and speak with confidence, because they're not going to call you back if you're wavering on your message. They might call you back if it is a good message. They will call you back if it's an appropriate message. But find out, figure it out, write it down, keep track of everything, absolutely everything. Get yourself some sort of a system. I know there's a few time management experts that are out there. I think Andrea Feinberg has got a couple of different ideas as to how to have that time. That is one of her main focuses is, you know, helping people, you know, with that time management thing. And it is incredibly important. As we've been discussing, and I'm sure there's a number of other examples also. But find some way to do it where it makes sense for you to, you know, to be putting the effort into different things. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of, it's going to take me too much time to track this stuff. You know, the first week you do something, the second week you do something, even if it's the third or fourth week, you know, you're adopting a new practice. You're changing the way you're doing something. You're creating a new habit. And once it truly becomes a habit, then you're doing it without thinking, and it just becomes natural. It's just going to flow. It won't take you that much time. The surprise factor in that might save you a huge amount of time, because now you're going to be able to take a look and see what it is that you actually are spending your time on. Where are you wasting your time? Where are you just kind of losing time? You know, there was one time I did one of those time logs, and I went through each and every minute. Actually, as soon as anything new happened, I wrote down what that action was, the person I was speaking to, looking for a folder, and that became my big aha moment. And I kept track of the whole thing, you know, throughout the day. I realized at the end of the week, when I went back to really take a look at this thing, that I was losing a lot of time in two different places. One of them was actually looking for a folder. I was disorganized. Ouch. but it is. I was disorganized with my filing system. I didn't have the right papers in the right places. So, it takes 30 seconds or less to go find the folder, to get the folder that you need. To find the folder should not take 5 minutes, and it was taking me that. And then you multiply that out over the course of a day. I was losing a lot of time. Where the big pickup was in conversations, not with clients, not with prospects. That's all fine. However amount of time you spend on the phone with them mostly is good. There are a few people that I've spoken to along the lines. They do that introductory call, which becomes a two-hour coaching session. That's not an introductory call. An introductory call is getting to know them, allowing them to get to know you, and to see if you fit. It's an interview. That's really what it comes down to. It's an interview. They are interviewing you. You are interviewing them. You're not there helping through them through all of their problems, because why are they hiring you? They just basically did. So be cognizant of that. But I was having a lot of conversations were happening that were not business related. And, some social aspect is always important. You know, we are humans. We love to interact. Some of us like to talk. Myself, I guess you could say. But also, you know, we listen to people, and people want to be heard, and that's great. And we also get to know each other on a different level by doing that. But the conversations were just kind of meaningless, because some of the folks that were coming in, they were just coming in because they didn't want to do whatever it was that they were doing. So I became an ear, you know, somebody to listen to. So I wound up picking up probably about a half an hour a day after I explained to them what I was doing, you know, with that time log. I guarantee you this, is that if you really pay attention to where you're putting your efforts, truly track, honestly track where you are spending your time, where you're spending your dollars, where you are putting your efforts and going out socially or the networking or any of those kind of things, you'll see that there are some things that you are doing that make no sense. They just make no sense. You could have somebody else do it, delegate it to one of your business partners, an employee maybe, who's looking to continue to grow. Maybe you could outsource it completely, pay somebody to go and do the work. It'll cost you a little bit, but create more time for you to focus in on those things that are much more productive to you. And that is really what it's all about. You know, we can work in our business a whole lot, but for most of us, we need to really work on the entire business. It's a fluid world. People move. People pass away. People start new businesses, combine businesses. We're going to have clients that are going to come and go just for natural reasons, even if you were the best person in the world. And if you are the best person in the world and you only work in the business, that's it. The business is eventually going to shrink down. So it has to be built on. You need that business development side of things. You need to figure out what makes sense for you. Figure out your return on your effort. And I mean on everything. It's really, truly important. It's not that hard to do. There's a ton of business books that you can go and get. And after a while, they will repeat themselves anyhow. But you can go out, listen to a couple of them. Listen in the car. It's a great place to listen, to spend some time. You know, forget the news, especially nowadays. It's enough already. You know, we got another couple of days, couple of weeks to go. Then the elections are over, and then that's complete. But I'm sure the political stuff will continue on. When you're in the car, get a book. Listen to a CD, one of these books on disc. It's a great thing to do. It's a great place to put your effort because it's effective. It's free. You go to your library. You get all kinds of things. And you'll learn as you go. And I'll leave you with that thought. Learn as you go. Pay attention to where you're putting your time. Figure out if it's making sense for you. And it can on an emotional level. It can from a family level. And it can on a business level. But there are certain things that we do just don't make sense. Let those things go. Don't belong to the organizations. Don't belong to different things. Don't do and volunteer for absolutely everything. And figure out what makes the most amount of sense for you. And then find other people that might be better suited to take on those different roles. And then focus on the charities, the nonprofits, the organizations, your alumni association, the business partners, the ones that make the most amount of sense for you. It's not selfish. It's great for you. It's great for your family. It's great for your employees. It's great for your business partners. It's great for those people that you refer. It's great for everybody when you are growing. It pulls everybody along. And that is today's strategies of success. Thank you for joining me again. It's been a pleasure, and I actually like doing these programs. Maybe I'll do more and more by myself. We'll see what the feedback is, you know, on that one. Always looking for guests, though. You know, if you're interested in coming on to discuss this topic, some of the other things that are pertinent to your business that you think other business owners could benefit from, let me know. Happy to have you on. Doesn't matter where you are, because this is all done by phone or Skype, and it's a wonderful thing connecting with people around the world. It makes me feel good, and that's an effort that I will continue to do because I love hearing and sharing your story. This is Brian Cohen, Strategies of Success. Figure out what makes sense for you to do, then go out there and do it, and don't stop. Success is a great thing for you, great thing for everybody that surrounds you.